You know, there's one thing that God deals with us about when we are all in saved, young, old alike. God deals with us about doing something for God. Everybody that's ever been saved, everybody that's ever been born again, they ought to have some type of desire, some vision, goal, something to look forward to, something that they want to happen in their life. Amen? You know, we must understand that it is God that gives us dreams. It is God that talks to us. It's nothing wrong for a woman to dream for a home that's a godly home. And for her husband to be saved and sanctified and working for God. That dream is from the Lord. That's not a dream from the devil. The devil didn't want that to happen. It's not the desire of the devil for these young ladies to have the desire and the vision to marry a preacher. That comes from God. That's something God puts in them. Amen. They want a minister. They want to work for the Lord. It's not in these young... I look at these young men, see them coming looking so handsome. Amen. And that desire there, I can see it in them. There's some of them itching to get a truck and trailer and hit the road. Smile at me now. Amen. I mean to tell you, that dream, buddy, it's there from the Lord. It's not just the devil that tells them, makes them want to go. It's God that gives us the dream. Most of our songs tonight was songs of about heaven. We was talking about going to God's big city. And I want you to understand that those dreams is not from the devil. That's something that God gives us. Amen. It's not from the devil for the pastor to desire a bus ministry, for him to desire to bust the walls out of this church and to go to a bigger church. That is from the Lord. Amen. It's the will of God for us to have a vision, to see bigger than where we are. Amen. To look and to go beyond what we're doing now. That is the dreams that God places in us. How many lift a hand and say, I've got a dream in my heart. I've got something that I feel like God has showed me. God has told me it's going to happen. Amen. And it's not happened yet. Y'all stay with me here. I feel like preaching to you. Amen. There's four things when I was a little boy I wanted to be. And if I can remember without notes, here we go. I wanted to be a policeman. I wanted to be a fireman. I wanted to be a preacher. And I wanted to be a professional baseball player. Well, I'm going to tell you, 10 years ago and 100 pounds ago, I realized one of those dreams was gone. Guess which one it was? It was being a baseball player. Y'all smile at me. Amen. Long years ago, when I was thin, I had no rolls and no double chin. Y'all smile. Amen. I mean to tell you, that dream is long gone. I mean, it's in another century, in another atmosphere. Amen. I mean, it is not going to happen. And, you know, that was one of them. Amen. And the other one was to be a cop. I don't know. That still may happen. They're talking about me being the chaplain of the Laurel County Police Department, Sheriff's Department. Amen. It's not happened yet, but it might. Amen. The other one, to be a fireman, it is happening. I'm the chaplain of the of Laurel County Fire Department. Amen. In my community. And the other one has happened for me to be a preacher. Y'all hear? Amen. When I was a little boy, I used to get... Y'all remember those 16-ounce pop bottles? How many remembers those? Amen. When I was just a little... If you don't remember, though, you're too young. Amen. If you don't remember the 16-ounce pop bottle. When I was just a little boy, I used to get that glass bottle. Amen. I'd take it and I'd stand up and I'd go around every house in the neighborhood gathering up their pop bottles. They was worth 10 cents. Y'all smile. Amen. I'd come out with $20, $30 a day sometimes. Amen. But I want you to understand. I used to take those and I would get after the service and I'd go stand up in the chair and I would preach the pastor's sermon. Amen. From the front to the back as just a young boy, maybe 5, 6 years old. I could remember what that preacher preached. And when I got home, amen, I'd take that 16-ounce pop bottle and I would preach like the woods was on fire. Y'all hear? Amen. I mean to tell you, I had a dream and a vision, amen, to preach the gospel. Amen. I wouldn't even say, but I had a desire, amen, to be a gospel preacher. But a few years passed and I got a little bit older, amen, and something happened and I realized, amen, that the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, amen, and to take that which God has placed in us, amen, and to pull it out of us. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in here has raised their hand to having a dream, but don't you think that the devil's going to roll over? Amen, look at
you and just say, it's going to happen. I ain't going to give you no fight. No. I'm not going to fight with you. Not going to give you no opposition. I'm just going to let your dreams happen. Well, you might as well wake up, come back to earth, and realize that we have an adversary who desires to sift us as wheat. He desires to come and take that which God, amen, has put in us. You hear me? You young folks, one of the scariest things in my life is when I see these young preachers, and I mean, I've been in it long enough now that I've been exalted and I've been brought a base. I mean to tell you, I know what it's like to feel like you are somebody, and I know what it's like to feel like your face was in the mud and you had to look up to see the carpet, all right? Amen. But I get to looking at these young people and their dreams are so bright and they're so excited and gyro. Amen. But they've got to have to realize in order for that to happen, they're going to have to get some grit in their craw. Amen. And realize, I'm not going to lose this. Amen. Understand that vision that you got. Man, I feel like preaching. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Dear God, stay with me a little while. We'll see where this thing goes. Just the other day, I was, I told you this before, my Uncle Johnny, I love talking about it. He's one of my favorite people in the world. Although he's a sinner, man, he's one of my favorite people. I mean, just genuine what he is. Amen. But I was praying and struggling one day, one night, out in the woods or behind my house there, calling on the Lord, and he snuck up on me. And he stepped and he said, Craig, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just out here. What are you doing? He said, I'm always out here. He looked at me and he said, Craig, he said, don't you think about it. I said, think about what? He said, I heard you praying. I heard how you're struggling and fighting and wrestling with God. He said, don't think about it. He said, there's nobody else in our family that's saved. There's no other preachers that's saved. He said, there's nobody else that preaches the gospel. He said, you're the only hope we've got, amen, of getting out of this mess that we're in. He said, don't you give it up. Don't you quit. You know what he was telling me in essence? Brother, if you lose your vision, we're all going to perish. Somebody shout amen. Amen. In the Bible, the book of Genesis begins to record the story of a young man named Joseph, 17 years old, while he's sleeping. And God deals with his heart and says, this is going to happen. He sees the sheaves and one grows higher than the other. And he sees the other ones bowing down. All of a sudden, God says, this is the way it's going to be. One day, brother, you're going to rise above those. Now listen, I could turn loose here and preach. I could. But I feel like talking to you. The first thing Joseph done when he got his dream, he left straight out of there and he went and told somebody. And he was expecting them to have the same dream he had. I'm going to tell you something. One day when I was just a young boy, I was praying and fasting. And I don't want to step on nobody's toes right here. But I'd fasted about 3 days, been locked in my room. I come out of the bedroom with a revelation on 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about men's hair and women's hair. After about 3 days of fasting prayer, God dealt with me. I walked out of my bedroom, hadn't been out except to get water for 3 days. My mom and I love her. She's sitting there watching a 40-inch big screen TV, and I just got a revelation on a woman not cutting her hair. Now, come on here. I mean to tell you, I walked out there, and I said, hey, Mom, I mean 3 days fasting and praying. I was getting ready to eat a steak. I was fired up. Man, I looked at Mama. I said, Mama, did you know the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, hey, man, that you ought not do this, and a man ought not do that, and blah, blah, blah. I'll never forget to look on her face. Brother, she wasn't having the same dream I had. Come on here. I mean to tell you, the first thing you're going to have to realize is that's what God gave to you. Amen. He didn't give it to your brother. He didn't give it to your sister. It's something that God gave to you, and you got to realize and grab a hold of it. Amen. And even though hell comes against you, you got to grab a hold of that thing and know that this is what's going to happen in my life. No matter come hell or high water, I'm going to see this thing through. Amen. So the first thing Joseph messed up in, amen, was that he tried to think everybody going to have the same dream he had. Brother, but Joseph was getting ready, amen, to go through some of the toughest times of his life, because the devil always pays attention to the people that's got a dream. Y'all hear? He's not interested in the people that doesn't have a vision. He's not interested in the people that's not got a dream. Brother, but the preacher, the minister, the young person, the lay person that gets a desire for missions, that gets a desire for a bus ministry, that gets a desire for evangelism, brother, that'll be the person that all hell turns its attention on. It's the one that's got their eyes open and got the lights on. I feel like preaching. Here's what I'm going to preach on. I'm going to preach on, don't let the devil take your pop bottle, alright? Hey man, I'm going to preach to us here. So Joseph's got his dream and his pop bottle. One of these days they're going to bow down. I'm going to see this and it's going to happen. But brother, was he in for the shock of his life? Outdoing what his dad, my God, I feel like preaching. Outdoing what his daddy said to do. His other brothers are out in the field doing what they're supposed to be doing. But dear God, daddy said, go tell them, send them word. He was doing what he's supposed to be doing. And out of nowhere comes trouble. Shout amen. Now it's one thing to get in trouble, but it's another thing to get in trouble doing what God said to do. Say amen. I mean, it's one thing if you know you've done wrong, and it's another thing if you're doing what God said. Amen. But what you're going to have to realize, if you're ever going to do what God's give you the dream to do, you're going to have to go through a few things, brother. It ain't going to just come to you. You're going to have to be put through the things, the trials of life, before you ever get promoted to the palace of your dream. So the next thing that happens, Joseph's got his coat. He's an excited young man. I really could preach to you, man. I mean, I could... Oh, Lord. I mean, he could just say he had his coat. He was walking on high cotton, brother. He's walking out there, got a coat nobody else has got a dream nobody else has got. Amen. And as soon as he gets out there, guess what happened? They strip him of that coat. Y'all get that? Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Before you ever do anything for God, brother, you'll be exalted at times, but there'll be times when God will have to allow you to have your coat stripped from you. That thing that God give you, amen, that made you feel like somebody, you'll have to be stripped to where you feel like nobody, and when you feel like nobody, then you're getting ready. I said, when you feel like you're nobody, you're as low as you can go, you're getting ready. I said, all's happening to you. I feel the Holy Ghost. If you're low right now and feel like the devil stripped you of everything, you're just getting ready. I said, God's just making you ready for what he wants to do in your life. Somebody shout amen. So here he is. He's stripped of his coat. And the next thing, he's sold by his brother. Woo! They put him in the pit, and the pit wasn't good enough. Amen. When he got brought out, he got sold by his brother. Y'all hear me? I'm going to tell you, the worst hurt you'll ever get in your life, it'll come from the house of your friends. Come here now. Woo! It won't come from the outside, because people you don't love can't hurt you. People you don't know talking about you, you never hear it anyways. But the people sitting right next to you that accidentally says the wrong thing and it gets twisted, it'll cut you like a knife. And before it's over, come on here, before it's over, it will have you sold out by those that you loved. You ever been sold out by those you loved? I've had, my God, the ones I give a... preach here. I don't know if it's going on the internet. I don't know where it's going here. I just got to say it like I feel it. That's just the way I am. I mean to tell you, brothers, I had about $10,000 of my own money saved up. You may say that's not a lot, but it's a lot to me. Amen. Hey, a certain fella come around. I don't have that now. I had it then. All right. Hey, man, a certain fella came around and he was broke, busted, and disgusted. I mean, in trouble. I mean, couldn't feed his family, his children. So me and my big heart here, you know, I mean, yeah, here, God, help me. I mean, I got this shelling out money. Here, buddy, here, fix your truck. Here, buy your kids a pizza. Pay your bills. I mean, before I know it, I went to my bank account. Come here now. Hey, man, my bank account was down to a big goose egg. Y'all know what that is? Hey, man, and it didn't take but a couple days after I was out of money. Hey, man, that was the very one that turned on me. and talked about me the worst was the one I gave my last dime to. Y'all gonna help me preach? Amen. Sometimes, brother, you ain't gonna get hurt by those out there. You're gonna get hurt by them that's close to you, them that you think love you, and them that you think you love. So wake up and smell the coffee, sir. There's gonna be trouble, and those that love you are gonna sell you out if you're ever gonna go through what you gotta go through to get your top bottle. So now he's sold out. I'm going somewhere. Don't worry about me. He's sold out. He's in trouble. And he gets put and sent to Egypt. I mean to tell you, he gets to Egypt. It takes him just a few years. Just a short time. And God prospers him. And he gets put in the house of Potiphar. I mean, living right there in the close quarters. And wouldn't you know, as soon as he thinks he's going to get what he's supposed to get, he gets lied on. Dear God, y'all going to help me here? He thinks, this is my chance. I'm coming out of here. God's seen me. My dream's coming to pass. And as soon as he gets it in his hand, God rips it back from him. Are y'all here? I'm going to tell you, that's the way it works, brother. Hey, sometimes you'll get it right in your bosom. And as soon as you think you've got God figured out, God will do something, throw you a curveball. Y'all here? He'll throw you a curveball and you'll have to go back to prayer and you'll have to figure him all out over again. So this woman here's tempting him. Understand, she's not just tempting him, but she's tempting him daily. There's a difference in being tempted and being tempted daily. Amen. One preacher said she got his coat, bless God, but she didn't get his character. I say thank God for that. Amen. I mean, Joseph got out of that coat. She grabbed a hold of it and she lied on him. And bless God, Joseph's right back down in the prison house. Now listen here, I'm going to tell you, being in prison, it is something that I don't understand. But I feel like this right here. Amen, prison is something the devil wants us in. Up there in Kentucky where we live, amen, somebody's teasing me about being from Flatwoods. I ain't from Flatwoods. I'm from the hillbilly side of Kentucky. Amen, I know Flatwoods don't want to think they're hillbillies, but they are too. You tell them I said so. I love... Other hillbilly, smile at me, amen. I mean to tell you, you live with one long enough, it's hillbillies, ain't it, buddy? Amen, God, here we are. Amen, but down there they built a prison. And long years ago when I was thin, y'all hear? They've got a softball, baseball field over there and they invited us to come and play. And I went in there and they had the fanciest of the fanciest brick dust and everything you could imagine. I mean, they had the best weight system. Gold's Gym couldn't have stacked up with what the prison had. Amen. They had hardwood floors. I played college basketball, semi-pro volleyball. And I never saw much nicer stuff than the prison had. I mean, we was out there getting around. I thought, dear God, I was a redneck. I said, I need to get put in jail. This looks pretty good. Y'all hear? Amen. I mean, we got ready to play baseball. And they got to go to college and the state paid for it. I mean, I was trying to get back in college and couldn't afford it. They got put in prison. Come on now. They got put in prison and could go free. I said, dear God, there's something wrong with it. I say, put them in a 10-foot hole. Hey, man, feed them some bread and water for about 6 months, and they won't rape nobody else. Come on, help me preach. I mean, come on here. You put them in a prison like that, bless God, they ain't going to do it again as soon as they get out to go back. Amen. I thought, dear God, this ain't too bad. I mean, I can handle this. We started to play the game. And they came out with uniforms on. And God knows my heart. Those uniforms were as nice as the Cincinnati Reds. They had a big intercom system. And they was playing some music. And those black boys come out there. And most of them's ex-pro players anyways. I mean, them outfits make $6 million a year for 12 years and broke in 3 months after they quit. I don't understand that. Is this all right? Woo! Y'all help me. I feel wild here. Start the truck. We might be going home early, Steph. Amen. I mean to tell you, I don't understand all of it. But they started that. And I got thinking, boy, this ain't too bad. Until the ninth inning would come and it was over. And I heard them say, They said something like, Unit 631, please report to your cell. Unit 632, please report to your cell. And I heard them doors shutting down through there. And they said, "You guys are welcome to go free. Go on, we're getting you. We're putting other boys up. You guys are going home." And I realized right then, buddy, I don't want to be a prisoner. Come on here. I mean, I'll tell you what the devil does us. The devil will give us so much liberty in prison that he convinces us that we ain't bound. Somebody help me preach. Woo! He'll give us so much liberty while we're in jail that we won't even know we're in jail. And he'll work us like a dog on a chain. Amen. As far as we get, as far as he wants us, he'll yank us back and say, "Not that far." We'll start to do something for God. Lift a hand. He'll say, "That's all right." But the minute we start to step out and do it, he says, "Come on back here now." Amen. If that's what the devil does. You see, prison ain't doing nothing. Prison is something that you can do a little bit. Amen. And think you're doing all right. I want to tell you something, brother. You can't accept prison. You can't accept being in jail. You can't accept nothing less than your pop bottle. I wish you'd help me preach. You can't accept it. Only thing you can accept is that what God told you. You can't accept nothing less.
What we do. We go and we kick against our chain and then we come back. And we go and we kick against our prison and we realize there's no use. So we come back and we try again and we're still bound. So we come back and we try again until that noose that's around our neck begins to rub a blister. And then we quit trying to get out of our prison. And we say, "What's the use in worrying about my dream? I'm in prison. I've been betrayed. I've been forsaken by those I love. I've been put in prison. As soon as I thought I was doing good, they took my coat." Amen. What is the use, amen, of trying to see this thing through? Anybody ever know what I'm preaching about? What is the use? There's so much trouble. I might as well just enjoy this prison. Y'all hear? I mean, I'm getting food and water. I'm making it. I'm doing not too bad. I might as well just accept it. I'm going to tell you something. That's what's the matter with the church. Well, I thought I'd get more amens than that right there. I said, that is what's the matter with the church. We've come satisfied with the permissive will instead of a perfect will. We've come satisfied with the limited liberty instead of who the Son has set free is free indeed. We've come happy with being in bondage rather than being those that have the Spirit of the Lord and have the liberty. I'm going to tell you something. Hey, something wrong with the church, and that should never be a church, you hear me, where the service is bound all the time. Brother, I've been up a I said we ought to be a liberty place. It ought to be a place of worship. It ought to be a place of clapping of hands. It ought to be a place of noise. It ought to be a place of dancing. It ought to be a place of shouting hallelujahs. But it's become a sanctuary of the silent. I say, bless God, loose us and let us see our dreams go. We're satisfied with 25, and we ought to have 225, because we've lost our pop bottle, we've lost our dream. Let's just do it the way we're doing it. It's all right. I say, God, help me not to accept nothing less than that pop bottle dream. Come on here. Come on. So finally, he gets brought up out of the prison. But while he's in there, something unique happens. And this is the deciding factor on him getting his dream. He was able to handle the losing his coat, put in the pit, sold out by his brother. He was able to handle being lied on, put in prison. But the hardest thing he had to deal with, in my opinion, is when he has been 12 years at least without his dream being fulfilled. And all of a sudden, two boys show up and say, I've got a dream. And we heard you could interpret them. Come on. I know you may not know where I'm going, but I know. Hey, man, you know the hardest thing in the world. This is what made him better than most people. Y'all hear? If it had been us, you know what would have happened? If it had been me, I'll tell you what I would have done. You got a dream. Well, bless God, find you somebody else. It's been 12 years. I've been put in a pit, sold out by my brothers, lost my coat, put in prison, lied on by some old hag. Y'all go help me preach or not. It's been 12 years since all this happened. And dear God, you want me to help you with your dream? I don't think so. Amen. That's what we'd have done. That's why we quit preaching. Come on. That's why we quit testifying. God love your heart. You're in a battle and you quit testifying. I feel like dancing. I don't know if I'm the only one here. Woo! I'm going to tell you right now, brother, when you get down, you've got to have the willingness, brother, to stand up and when you're low, say, God will bring you high. When you're sick, stand up and say, God is still a healer. When everything's going wrong, you've got to have the ability to stand up and say, our God is faithful and He'll do it again. I said He'll do it again, even when it ain't going right. You gotta shout glory to God. Anybody can preach when the bills are paid. Anybody can show up to church when they're not sick. Well, I'm about to throw this at somebody here. Wow! Anybody can shout glory to God. Amen. When there's money in the bank. But it takes a special person when everything's down to nothing. And they've been trailed out of a shatana behind. And they realize, I've got to see my dream. And if I'm going to see my dream, I've got to keep going. You quit testifying because you had a pain. You didn't come to church because you had a headache. Now smile at me. That's why your dreams still not come to pass. And that's why it will never come to pass. Until you make your mind up. No matter how low I go. I've seen my wife climb on the piano and me hold her before service and literally walk her in, her shaking with her nerves, and her walk up to the piano, Brother Mike, and start singing, God will do it again. You hear me? Brother, me and my wife estimated about maybe a couple nervous breakdowns over the last couple years or so. And man, I mean, I just couldn't get there sometimes. But every time somebody asked me to preach, I never turned them down. I'd show up and go to the pulpit. And the night before, sometimes my wife put me in the bed shaking like this right here. And I'd stand up and grab the pulpit and preach again. And I'd tell them, God is good. I didn't preach very good, but I'd tell them, God's good. And I said, God's faithful. And God will bring you out. And God will help you out. I was preaching in Virginia. Amen. In a revival. And I'm not one. I try to pray for revival and try to do my best to seek the Lord. I was so in pain, so hurt, and so bad. I wasn't getting up but 15 minutes before time to preach. Jumping in the shower and spray myself off. Walked to the church 2 or 3 minutes till the time. And man, it hurt so bad I couldn't stand up. I'm going to tell you something. I've done my best every single night to tell those people in there, if you've got a dream, God's going to let it come to pass. Woo! I'm going to tell you, you know what you need to do that would help you? If you just look over at your neighbor and say, it's going to happen for you. I know you're sick. I know your body's hurting. Y'all ain't going to help me.
ain't gonna help me. Y'all ain't gonna help me. I know you ain't. Hey, some of y'all sit down. You ain't gonna do it. But I dare y'all, though you don't see your dream, I dare you to look at somebody and say, yours is gonna come to pass. I've been worried about you the last few days. Man, I'm gonna tell you something, buddy. God's got great things for you. And that you've been wanting to happen is gonna happen. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the power of the Lord. Everybody lift a hand and say, God will do it. I don't know this, but I'd almost guarantee you about half of them sisters that went back there to pray with that other sister tonight had something wrong in their life. Won't you slip your hand up right here? When I left that church, not the highway, when I first left that worldly church from London there and come into wholeness, those people talked about me like I'd lost my mind. They said, you'll never get to preach. You'll never do nothing for God. Nobody wants to hear the way you preach. You preach too hard. You preach on everybody. Nobody will show up. I talked to one of them a couple years ago. He said, how you doing? I said, pretty good. I said, how's your ministry going? He said, it's going good. He said, I was pretty busy last month. I preached about 4 times. I said, man. He said, how'd you do? I said, I preached about 34 times. Twice on Sundays. I'm going to tell you something. They laughed at me. But when they get in trouble, they said I'd never do no good. I'd lose it all. But when they get in trouble, when their families are sick, when they're not doing good, you know who they look up? They're looking for Joseph. Because they heard there's corn. Come on here. I feel the Lord. Some of you are going through what you're going through. Because those people that's done you the way they've done you are going to come back needing corn. And the bottom line is, will there be any corn in Egypt when they come back? Or are we going to be bitter? Or are we going to do like Joseph when he seen them coming? He draws back into another room and he begins to weep and wipe his eyes. And he comes back out and says, this is me. I'm still the same person. This is Joseph. And they could not believe it. And Joseph said, come, I've got food for you. You're not going to die, come on. I've got something that's going to keep all of you alive.
I come to preach to us. I feel the touch of God.
Man, I feel the touch of the Holy Ghost right here. Some of you are in the same place I was that night when Johnny said, please don't give up. You're the last thing I've got. Some of you, I feel the touch of God right here. There's folks under the sound of my voice that's in the worst battle of their life. And the devil's trying to get your pop bottle. You hear me? What you need to do is stand up and say, no, I know it's hard. I know it's tough. But by the grace of God, I've got people. I've got loved ones. I've got a family. I've got somebody that's going to need this for me to hang on to what I've got. And I can't lose it. What if that one that's done you so bad in 2 years comes looking, and they walk through Shadeville Church of God, and they find your seat empty, and they say, I come looking for corn, and I knew she had corn, but where's Joseph? Where's he at? Where's she at? Oh God, help us. I said, help us. If we lose our dream, the community will go to hell. There's some of you that the Lord has given you a dream. There's some wives in here that's got husbands that's lost. And if you lose your vision, your home will perish. Your boys will not be preachers. Your girls will not end up what you want them to be. And your dream of your home would never happen. Man, oh man. You may not feel this, but I feel it so thick I could almost see you. Why does the devil want your dream?
Why does he want my pop bottle?
Come on.
Because there's people. I may not be the greatest preacher in the world, but there's a few people I can feed and keep them from dying. Can we slip a hand up right here? I feel like God's trying to talk to us.
You know a song, Mom? Sing, Stephanie Faye.
Come on, why don't we get our mind right here on the Lord just for a minute?
Oh, he cares.
Stand with me all over the building. Let's lift our hands.
He's right there. He sees your heart. All the hidden broken parts. Let him take you in his arms. He will heal your wounds and scars.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, he knows right where you are.
Every head bowed all over the building. Who would lift a hand and say, I've got a dream, Brother Inman, that I feel like God gave me? Get them up. Don't be ashamed of it. I got my hand up. I told you I'll never be a baseball player, but I've got some other dreams God's talked to me about in my life, and I've not yet seen them come to pass. But I want to see them. How many lift a hand and say, right now the devil's been trying to steal mine through troubles, trials, heartaches, friends, brethren, pits, prisons, bondages, lies, deceptions, heartache. Lift your hand. You're here. Some of y'all have all, come on. Don't draw back from the Holy Ghost right now. The Holy Ghost is pulling you out. Don't draw back from Him. He's trying to talk to you, and He's telling you that He will help you to hold on to what He's given you if you want to keep it. Now, I'm going to ask you, those that raised your hand, why don't you step out and come this way right now? Come on, though. There's a bunch of you.
Over half of you actually raised your hand. Come on. The devil's trying to take it. The devil's after it. Come on. I want to do something for God. I want to be faithful to God. I want to see this thing done. I want to see my body healed. I want to see my business. I want to see my church. I want to see my family. I want to see my life. And God, I'm here to ask you to help me to hold on, because I know that you give this, and there's people dependent on me. My life's not useless. You're dependent on me, God, to see this through so that I can reach those. Amen. That you've asked me to go shut up.
You count it as a friend. The hurt so deep seems time just won't mend. It may be a lonely place. Is there any use to pray? Can I say He knows, He cares where you are. He's right there. He sees your heart. All the hidden broken parts, let Him take you in His arms. He will heal. Yes, He knows right where you are.
Come on, get you a bulldog grip.
Walk that road.
And let your hand cleave.
You now travel on
to the sore.
I know how a broken heart can make you feel. But when I thought that no one cared, I felt His gentle hand, and His loving touch made me whole again. It may be a lonely place. Is there any use to pray? Let me say, where you are, He's right there. He sees your heart. All the hidden broken parts, let Him take you in His arms. He will heal your wounds and scars. Yes, He knows right where you yes, God knows, He cares where you are. He's right there. He sees your heart. All the hidden broken parts, let Him take you in His arms. He will heal your wounds and scars. Yes, He knows. cried a river full of tears. Still feel grief and sorrow. Inside you're filled with fear. That temptation's quiet whisper in its subtle secret way will find you at your weakest and again calls you to stray. Let it go. Give it to Jesus. Let it go. The guilt you feel inside. There's no need for you to be defeated when there's nothing left for you to hide. His blood destroyed the traces the sin had left behind. Walk on in His forgiveness, mercy granted one more time. No need to feel so useless, forget what's in the past. Hold to your salvation, you can count on it to last. Let God's Spirit lead you to perfect peace and more. The joy that you are missing, He will soon restore. Let it go. Give it to Jesus. Let it go.
I'm gonna tell you something. I'm not very old, but I've been in this long enough. I've been in it a couple years now, and I don't know exactly all the spiritual stuff that's going on in our world. But brother, if you don't think we're into it, and people are struggling, you've lost your mind. There's more people, more things going on in people's minds and hearts right now than you could ever imagine. The devil trying to pull our people out. I'm going to tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost. I thought this might go a different way, but I know we're right where God wants us. Don't you get weary with this. There's folks getting help in these altars right now. And Father, I'm going to tell you, if they get what they need, we can shout tomorrow night or Wednesday night or when you come back Sunday night. But they need to get that light back on. The ability to see what God's told them to see. Now, I feel the Holy Ghost. You'd be shocked at the battle people are facing. If you got in the minds of the young folks and the middle-aged and the elderly, you would be amazed what's really going on. We think because they're young, they don't have real battles. And they think because we're old, we don't have real battles. But everybody here has got their own thing that they must deal with. If our young people lose their vision, there will be no church of tomorrow. And there won't be much church going on today. And young folks, if our elder people had lost their vision, there would be no church at all today. That's how important this is. It's not a joke. Without it, people perish. I've been so low, and I've my wife's found me at church before. My shirt soaking wet with tears. And all I could tell the Lord was, Lord, the devil's gotten my dream. I'm so low, it'll never happen. But I stayed with it a few days. And I began to see the light come back on. Man, I tell you what, I feel power right here. I know we're not shouting, but I can feel power in my body to talk to you. God's wanting to help somebody right now. Y'all know me well enough. If I don't think the Lord's in it, I like going to eat pizza too. But I feel the Holy Ghost. Did you come to revival just to hear preaching, singing, go home?
I didn't.
I come to see God do what He told me He's going to do.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
That's what I came for. The vision hasn't happened yet. But though it tarry, it will come. And that's what I come to revival for. To see what God said He's going to do. That's why I'm here. I'm going to tell you. About 7 times in the last month and a half, the Holy Ghost has spoke to me and told me He's going to do some things. And I wouldn't have been looking for it so soon, but every time it said in just a few days, in just a short while, every time it spoke in different churches and in different places, the Holy Ghost said in just a short time, shorter than you think, a few days. So I'm going to tell you something. You may be ready to go home, but I'm ready to happen. You may be ready to go eat the Dornados. What do you thought y'all eat up here? But I'm ready to see God do what He told me He's going to do for me. I feel like God's going to do it. Do you? How many's got the dream? Say, I believe God. I believe God even at His Word. And as the Lord said it, that's the way I believe it. Somebody get your hand up. I'm done preaching. But let your heart be encouraged. Though the dream, though the vision and the dream tarry, it will come to pass. See, Mama, man, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Why should I worry? Why should I fear? That very same Jesus stays always near. He lives in my heart. He hears when I cry. I can call on His name till the storm passes by. Oh, why should I worry? Why should I fear? That very same Jesus stays always near. He lives in my heart. He hears when I cry. I can call on His name till the storm passes by. Out on the water, storms raging high. The waters around them were troubled that night. Fear filled their heart. They thought they might die. They failed to remember the Master was nigh. He spoke the word. The winds all stood still. Even the waters obeyed His will. He'll calm their storms just like He will mine. If I'll just remember He lives deep inside. Oh, why should I worry? Why should I fear? That very same Jesus stays always near. He lives in my heart. He hears when I cry. I can call on His name till the storm passes by. Oh.
can call on His name till the storm passes by. I read in the Bible how He walked with them, brought light to the darkness when the way grew dim. How great it would be.
Come on, whisper. Whisper in that one you're with right now. Whisper in their ear and tell them God's going to do it for you. Tell them. Tell them, sis. Tell her. Say, God's going to do it for you. You might be into it right now, but tell them God's going to do it for you. It's going to happen. God said it and He's going to do what He said. I'll tell you,
when I'm in trouble, my body.
Come on. God's going to do it. Tell her. Believe it. Tell her God's going to do it.
It's called His name. Oh, why should I worry?
Come on, worship the Lord.
Why should I fear that very same Jesus? He stays always near. He lives in my heart. He hears when I cry. I can call on His name till the storm passes by.
What do you do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? John's disciples had followed him, and they were so intrigued with John's message and his work. But like our brother said, a few days came and John got his head cut off. And his disciples had no idea what to do. Their leader was gone. Their hope was gone. Their dreams were shattered. But do you know what they done? The Bible said we must go tell Jesus. You hear me? The Bible said John's disciples were broke, busted, and disgusted, but they said, we must go tell Jesus. I'm going to tell you something, brother. That's all you can do sometimes. That's all you can do is bow down at an altar and say, I just come to tell you, Jesus. The lights are off. The dream's gone. The burden's too much. The heartache's bigger than I am. And I've got to talk to you about it. I've got to go to Jesus. And He will in no wise, in no way, shape, form, or fashion, He won't cast us out. But when mother and father forsake us, then the Lord will take us up. And He loves us. Lift your hands and say, we're going to tell Jesus. We're going to tell Jesus. He cares. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And I must tell Jesus. Some of you right now, you don't know what to do. You're overwhelmed. I don't have an answer. I don't have the ability to lay hands on you and bring you out of it. I can just simply tell you, I've been where you are. You done it? I'd say I have too. You've been talked about, so have I. You've been lied on, join the club. All I can do is tell you, I've been there. And when I went and told him about it, he understood. And I'm not there now. But I've been there. I'll probably go back there at some point in my life, and I'm not looking forward to it. I ain't going to lie to you. I don't like that place. I'm thankful for it when I'm out of it. But while I'm there, I don't like it. And I'll probably go back. But the next time I go back, there'll be something different. I'll know I can come out. And that's what I'm telling you right now. It'll happen. What God said, it's not a preacher telling you. When God said it, it's God. When God give it, it's God. And a man can lie to you, but God can't fail you. One more time, lift your hand. I've got a hush, but I believe God's trying to do something in somebody right now.
Was too much. He would have never let me go through this trial. And if he didn't think I could take it, he would have stopped me long before I walked this mile. Oh, but the thing that keeps me going through the it came, and He believes in me, and that's enough for me to make it all the way. There's not a problem He doesn't know about.